direction. Michigan head basketball coach John Beilein. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Good morning.
How
are both of you? You know, I took Patrick to the airport this morning, and you guys were on the officials bad.
We were like John Beilein, were we? In the Duke game.
I'm going to give you guys a bench warning. I'll give you a bench warning.
You know, that brings up a question, Coach, and I don't know whether or not it's – because Ira brought up the point yesterday. You know, is it the case that with the Big Ten being as physical as it is, that when you're getting tournament play, maybe the guys have to adjust somewhat? I don't know if it probably wasn't as much of an issue in the Tennessee game, but it seemed like a lot of touch fouls were being called in that Duke game.
It closes the gap, but traditionally the NCAA game, whether no matter what league you're in, are called tighter. What happens is we have this beginning of the year, you have this criteria and points of emphasis that go into the year. And then gradually the supervisors of officials of each league continue to try to hammer it home, but it's through emails and there's not a lot of personal meeting. Now you go to the NCAA tournament, and in each round, those guys are trying to advance. They are being critiqued and met personally before those rounds. So what were in that game? There were eight officials. There's an alternate for each one. Those eight had to sit down eye to eye with whoever was the supervisor officials for that and said, remember the points of emphasis. This is the way you're going to call these games. So it goes back to, you know, the roots of what started the season. So, you know, we try to be as prepared for that as we could be. But young guys, they get there. They're all excited. They're very anxious to get out there. And some of the things that have taken a long time for us to learn, we've gotten better at it, came back.
Well, I tell you what, that was the theme of this season, the young guys dealing with some adversity and bouncing back. And, you know, that happened all year. And I want to reflect on that in a little bit. But let's start off first with the Tennessee game. You know, it was a game that was fairly close in the first half. And then you guys come out of halftime and just explode. Was there anything, any points in particular that you hammered home at halftime that the guys just
really. I thought that we had played pretty well in the first half. But we were really having trouble with Harris. You know, we secretly work on a two zone. We secretly work on a three zone every day. We use it here and there. But I really felt we were becoming a better man-to-man team. And we had to, with our man-to-man defense, the way it's really always been, is try to understand angles and efficiency in your man-to-man defense. And what I found is maybe we needed to stay with that longer this year because it's similar angles or concepts in the zone. So we sort of work on it. We work at it not a great deal, a couple times a week for 10 or 15 minutes of practice. And I think that was a big thing. But they were not a great shooting team. We were going to hold it back and not put it on too much in the first half. In the second half, we just went to it, and that really was difficult. We hadn't shown it a lot. I don't think they probably were ready for that as well. And that certainly worked. And then we started making shots, and you know how contagious that is. Stu made one from probably where the officials or where the scorekeeper was sitting, and Tim made a big one, and Darius was fining people, and Zach came out on fire, and Harris wasn't used to, I don't think, guarding a four man who can shoot like that.
We're talking to John Beilein this morning here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com. So you go ahead and you face Duke, a team that, you know, much like the other top teams you played this year, no one was really giving you very much of a chance in that contest, and yet you got your guys to believe, and boy, did they ever come out and play. And I thought one of the key sequences in the game, you get Darius Morris in some foul trouble, and, you know, the commentators are saying, wow, you know, this is the point where Duke is going to pull away. And lo and behold, your guys, they kept the game within striking distance.
Yeah, we had very good Stu became more comfortable with being a lead guard when he had to be. It's now 3 years where, you know, you take a kid in high school, it was, hey, run off some down screens and shoot a three and come back and, you know, we hope you can guard your guy, but you probably can't. And he became, over the time, you know, a serviceable backup point guard and then a bit of a lockdown defender, much like C.J. Lee did for us a couple years ago. And so we held our own during that time. With Darius on the bench, with Jordan on the bench, Evan going on the bench. Evan was on fire, and we got a lot of things we can dial up for a big man when they have a big man guarding you, and he was taking advantage of it, but he got in foul trouble as well, and that's something we'll learn about how to, when you're smaller than the other team, how to play aggressively without fouling.
Well, Coach, there was a moment in the second half of that game, obviously, where Duke did pull out. They did go out and get a 15-point lead, and yet, a couple of key changes. Darius Morris came up huge, obviously. You got things going offensively, and then you make a key switch to your zone, and it really seemed to confound Duke. Just take me through that sequence of play when you go down 15.
You'd like to say it's some stroke of genius or something. It's not. It's the fact that Tony Nolan Al Nolan can really turn a guy around, and you saw it. He's a senior. He's been doing that for 4 years. If you all remember 4 years ago, Calvin Grady and Manny Harris were out there guarding him. And he can really do some good things. And that was going to be the typical Duke game. They get a lead by 5 to 7 points. I think they were 4 at halftime. And it was going to be 5 to 7. And then all of a sudden, Nolan goes off, gets to the foul line. Now you're in the one-on-one. They're going to use the shot clock. And they're not going to turn the ball over. And Nolan's just going to either find people, get offensive rebounds. So we said we have to just pay more attention to him. And so we went to the zone at that time, and it certainly had effect at just changing the tempo of the game.
Right, and so you come down, you whittle it down, and it comes down to being down by two with 8.7 seconds left. So what do you tell those guys? What do you tell Darius? What do you tell the team as far as what to look for with that last shot?
Well, I think first of all, you got to go back to Tim's three. That was a big one for us. They were really up in Tim. So he cuts it to one, and I really thought at that time, Sam, we're going to win the game. Because it was just right. You get up on Duke by 5 or 6 or 3 or 4 minutes ago, you might be in more trouble than if you're up down by one with a minute to go. You need to get one stop. And we got the stop. We got the stop we needed, and the ball just was one of those rebounds that just was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. It goes a foot further. It goes a foot lower. It bounces off somebody. Novak gets it, and we have the ball. So they end up getting that second possession. I haven't even looked at what happened on that. We were 1-3-1 again, and I don't know whether it's a block or a charge, but I know that it ended up being 4-on-4 because Jordan Morgan tried to take a charge and was on the ground. They get a big basket by Irving, and. So now we're down by three. We come down. We run one action on one side with two instructions. You're looking for Timmy and Jordan on a pick and roll or a screen down and pin in. Or Darius, if they're guarding that, just take it to the basket. He gets to the basket. Now we got to foul Nolan. But we've used our timeout right there. So in the timeout, we're saying, here's the deal. Right? If it's 3-point, here's what we're running. We think we can run this play in 6 or 7 seconds, but you need the clock to stop. Or you end up, if it's a 2-point game, take it to the basket and look for threes if they're wide open. So that's what we basically told them. We didn't have any more timeouts to go with that at all, but we really got a very good shot with 10 feet. I think he was worried about maybe if he went in and tried to draw a foul and score, he might not get it off in time. And I thought the ball was in from the very beginning.
Yeah, it certainly, it was online. It was just a little long, and hey, it was a great look in retrospect.
Kelly's 6'11", and so when he pulled up, Kelly just showed those arms, and I think he said, I better put a little bit more oomph in this one because Kelly's right on me, and it just was that half an inch more. So I know he'll relive that shot over and over again, but who knows? We go into overtime. We don't know if he would have kicked for a three. We don't know if that goes in and out, has the same result. It's a positive spin on it. I think our kids, they believe, and they're going to be hungry, and we're going to work our butts off. We start tomorrow with weightlifting tomorrow, which is, as you can see, is going to be a huge thing for us.
Right. Well, Coach, we're talking to Coach John Beilein for a few minutes more here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. From a fan perspective, you look at that contest, and as disappointed as you might be in the outcome, you just can't help but look at the promise that this team showed this year. Is a very young team bouncing back from all the adversity that they did. Looking ahead, I mean, what about your team? I know it's tough for them as young guys to set it aside, but mm-hmm. What do you tell them? Do you tell them, hey, use this, build off of it, you know, use it as motivation? What are you telling the team at this
point?
Well,
we had a good meeting yesterday. We had our postseason meeting yesterday, and you know, it's just basically we go back to a normal routine of what got us here. Of you understand, you believe, we all believe. I believe in you, and you believe in what we're trying, the culture and the style of play and the just the values that we honor so much. And we got to go, but it's not, you know, it doesn't get easier now. This is what hard work will accomplish. Well, guess what? There's more hard work ahead of us. And so the big thing was right now to shore up. We got 19 days of school left. That's mm-hmm. it. 19 class days of school, and you have missed, you know, several days of classes because of the tournament. That was the biggest emphasis. Let's finish strong so that we can be in great shape for next year. We talked about the summertime. We talked about what the plan will be for the summer, and just be hungry with great confidence. But be hungry was the biggest thing. You can go the other way if you think all of a sudden I'm there or we're there. We're not. We still were a 8 seed in the NCAA tournament with a very young team and a very small team, and we'd like to be bigger. I mean, we got to be bigger, I think, in some ways. And I was reminded that Colton Christian missed the whole summer because of a hamstring in the weight room, and Evan Smotrich missed the whole summer because of a foot injury in the weight room. And those are going to be really important for us, especially Colton with his upper body, Evan with his legs, and that will allow us to be bigger.
Right. Yeah, you're definitely, you can see the before and after pictures in the locker room of guys and how much bigger they got in the offseason from the strength and conditioning program. One more for you, Coach. Zach commented after the game. He said, you know, I was on that team before that went to the tournament, didn't go the next year. So we know what we have to do in order to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Is that something you bring up, or do you just rely on the leaders of your team to do that?
You know, I think that they have they know it. I don't have to say anything because four of them were a part of it. Five of them, counting maybe six of them, counting Josh and Corey, were all a part of that. So there was seven people that were a part of that. And then you bring in the four or five new guys, and then the new ones come in. They sort of saw that it's a fine line between being 21 and 14, and those six games that were the swing had a lot to do with the intangibles that you need to win. And it could be as simple as an injury. It could be as simple as somebody making a mistake off the court that every other 19-year-old maybe make, or many other 19-year-olds may make. That you're held to a higher standard. So there's a lot of things that are involved in keeping this thing together, and they're not just about always getting in the gym. So we will. I know this group. There's some gym rats now, Sam. There's not a question in my mind that they're hungry to get better, and that's our job as coaches now to make sure that they have those opportunities to continue to get better, and that we instill that in them and stay within the NCAA rules.
Well, Coach, great season, and glad to have you on the show. And, you know, we'll be around and looking forward to the off season, and then, of course, the next year, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you for all your coverage and having me on every week and almost every week except when we were 1-5. But 1-6. That was all right. I probably deserved it. But now that I'm back in your graces, this is good to know. And I look forward to it. Let's talk again. You know, in a couple weeks or something like that, as recruiting slows down or anything that happens in the weeks ahead.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach. Appreciate
All right,
it.
Thanks.
I'm taking the bullet for that unfairly. That wasn't even me. Anyway,
maybe it was just motivation to get the team to win again.
You know, maybe we need to get those guys some different phone technology.
Sam, maybe that may be it, but you know? Maybe he just needed that motivation because think about it, they won. He's on the show. Think about how far this team has come.
I'm just saying, you know,
you should take credit. Don't try to defer.
My phone was ready to go. I didn't miss any calls. You know, maybe they did. Maybe we need to get them the phone that changed everything, and it's affordable now because it's at a price that changes everything too. You can get the 8-gigabyte iPhone 3GS for just $49 only at AT&T. That's right, a brilliant touchscreen iPhone 3GS with access to thousands of apps at the flick of a finger and only on AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. So think about it. The iPhone 3GS is an amazing phone, and it's now available for just $49 only at AT&T. rethink possible. Limited time offer, 2-year voice agreement, and minimum $15 monthly data plan is required. Monthly broadband is not available everywhere. Other charges and restrictions apply. Visit att.com or a store for details. It is 9:03 now on a Tuesday morning. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, EA will come on the show. Eric Adelson of Yahoo Sports. Sure, he'll have his thought on Michigan's improbable run, at least according to many of the pundits, many of the fans, many of the people outside of the program. No one thought the Michigan basketball team would do what they did this year. Sure, EA will comment on that. Bruce Pearl fired. See what he has to say about that. What's up with his tournament bracket right now? Going to get into a lot with Eric Adelson, so stay tuned. 9:03 on a Tuesday morning here on the Michigan Insider. Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, Ann Arbor, Accumulus Station.